What comes to your mind when, you hear the concept of seeking something? You know, what comes to your mind? What do you think about when someone says you should be seeking something or they're seeking something? Is it seeking buried treasure? Would that come to your mind? What if you thought you had some buried treasure in your backyard? Would you be out there, digging in this snow and ice? Well, maybe not. Maybe you'd be, but maybe if you thought it was very valuable, you'd be digging up somehow, wouldn't you? Or maybe you'd be seeking a new job or a new position within a company. Maybe seeking financial security. Back to that treasure. We're always looking for that, aren't we? Or maybe some people are seeking that one special person in all the earth that they really sincerely believe will fulfill them, complete them. Or perhaps you're just seeking advice right now concerning an important decision, you know, like what school to attend or which career to pursue. Or maybe, you know, since the restaurants are opening up, where should I go to eat? Where can we go to dine? I'd suggest to you that we are all seekers, seeking any number of things throughout our lives that we believe will fulfill personal needs and longings. I'd even go so far as to say that God designed us to be seekers. Listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. This is the Apostle Paul addressing the Athenians, these Epicurean philosophers as well, these Stoics. They were saying that they thought they had all the answers, but they didn't. But he tells them, from one man, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now, that's an amazing thought. You know, I'm in Rockford for a reason? Evidently. Verse 27, God did this. He did all this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Did you catch that? The Creator made us to seek and find him. Among all the other things we might be seeking, other people we might be seeking, he wants us to what? Seek him. He created us for that purpose. Throughout the month of January, or February, we're in February now, aren't we? Wow, we turned the page. I'm going to be inviting you to explore this idea further. Today, let's consider a bit of a paradox, though, about this whole seeking thing when it comes to seeking God. First, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 and following. If you have your Bibles, want to open them there, that would be great. If you have a device you want to turn to or press the button, whatever you need to do there, you know, to open that device to a Bible app or something of that nature, please do that. We're going to be looking at some words, well, more than that, a conversation between Moses and God. Moses and God. In verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you're not letting me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I'll do the very thing you've asked, because I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Verse 21, then the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I'll remove my hand and you will see my back," the King James Version says hinder parts, I think it's see my wake that I've passed by. But my face must not be seen. I find this very intriguing because Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10 says that no one had a relationship with God like the prophet Moses did, and that God knew him face to face. God had this relationship with him. Moses was very privileged to be able to converse with God like this openly and honestly. But you know what? He longed to have more than just a conversation. He wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. He wanted to experience more of his presence, didn't he? He wanted yet more. And though they had the situation where there's kind of a face-to-face going on here, he's not really seeing God's face. And he longs to, doesn't he? He wants to. He's asking for that. Show me more of your glory. Reveal yourself even more to me than I've already seen. But what's God say? No. No. No one may see my face and live. Okay. So we should have this kind of passion, don't you think? This kind of desire. We sang a lot about it today, right? You know, seeking his presence. He's all I need. Right? Wow. We're to have this desire, this desire to seek him, but when we find him, we won't be able to see him. Sounds kind of like a little bit of a strange version of hide and seek. Here I am, but you can't see me. Now, I want you to hear the words of David in Psalm 27, and you may want to open your Bibles there now, because we're going to spend some time here in Psalm 27. Now, this is David. In verse 4, he says, "One thing I ask of the Lord." Now, wait a minute. Just stop there a minute. If you could have just one thing, if you could ask for just one thing from God, you know, like one wish, and you can have it, what would it be? What would you ask for? What would you say? Well, God, one thing, this is what I want. What would it be? What would be first on your list? Well, this is what was on David's list at the top of it. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Again, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Think on that a moment. Why in the world would David seek God's face when he knew full well that if he saw it, he wouldn't live to tell about it? Why would he do that? And he would know full well. David was very well acquainted with the scriptures. He was very well acquainted with the story of Moses and his interaction with God. That was well known in their culture. But yet, he still wants to seek God's face, to see God's face. Why? Well, one thing is this, I believe. What we know to be true in our mind doesn't necessarily change what we feel in our heart. How many of you know that's true? What you know to be true up here doesn't necessarily know or change how you feel about what you know. Does it? Nina can't see her folks as much as she'd like face to face right now. But she FaceTimes them nearly every day. Why in the world would she do that? She longs to see them. So she seeks them and ways to do that. seizing the opportunities that she finds to do that. How many of you have FaceTimed here, like Zoomed with people? How many of you have done? Of course you have. Have you heard of people even gathering outside hospital or nursing room windows to see their loved ones? You know, when they can't go inside, they can't be with them, but they will do what they can to get close and to see them and let them see them as well. I personally know how much it meant during this pandemic when a nurse or a caregiver connected a patient with family via Facebook Messenger or some alternative media. I can't see everyone I would like to today from Calvary Christian Church or other family and friends. I wish I could. I wish I could. I love you. And I want to be with you. And it humbles me greatly to think that some of you may feel that way about me too. You may actually want to see me face to face. You may actually want to spend time with me. It's one of the reasons why we, as well as other churches, have been providing times like this, at least, to help connect virtually until such time as we can see one another again. That this isn't a replacement for that, but it's something we're doing in the meantime to try to help, because we long to be one with one another, don't we? We long to see one another. We do. And though we may know that we can't be together and see one another in all the ways we want to right now, that doesn't stop us from wanting to, does it? It doesn't. Back to David. See, he longed to see God. Or he knew that God had said, if you see me, you won't live to tell about it, but he still longed to see him, didn't he? In Psalm 63, the opening verses, David said this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, as in a dry and parched land where there is no water." That's pretty passionate, wouldn't you say? Does this even remotely describe how we feel about God? Based upon the songs we sang, I believe that those of us here have that desire, that passion, that longing. And I pray that we have encouraged others in that longing too. Because if we have that longing, if we have that desire, we'll earnestly seek him, won't we? Won't we? We will seek him. Well, how will we do that? Well, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 6 in particular, and we'll see some ways that David was seeking God, even when he knew he couldn't see him. Psalm 27, verse 6, returning there, David continued to seek God's face in the tabernacle. Earlier on, he talked about in the holy temple, he would seek him. The tabernacle was the temple until the other temple, the later temple, Solomon's temple, was built. Now, David would seek God's face there. Now, he wouldn't have been able to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, as it's called, because that privilege was reserved only for the high priest, and then only once a year, on the Day of Atonement. But yet the man after God's own heart customarily, routinely entered in the sanctuary to experience the presence of his Lord. Now there was nothing magical about the tabernacle. Even though God had, you know, specified what materials to use, and he had blessed people with special gifts through this Holy Spirit to be able to be great craftsmen and wonderful weavers and whatever to put this all together and organize it. He had told them and given them instructions about how to do that. But yet, there was something about when going into the tabernacle, something happened in David. He felt a closer presence of God. He did. Now think about that a minute. Isn't there a sense in which we feel those things? We feel closer to God perhaps when we enter a place that's prepared for prayer and meditation and revelation. A place where God is not only acknowledged, but where His name is honored. Where we feel we have experienced before this strong presence of God and we long to do it again. Now I'm convinced that this is why so many of us miss coming to church right now. Oh, we long to see one another, but there's something we've experienced in the assembly, coming together, where God's presence is magnified for us. We are reminded of His wonder and His beauty and His majesty, and we're drawn closer to Him in the process. So I believe that's what's on a lot of people's hearts, that they want to come to church to experience that. It's one of the ways they feel that they can seek God's face. Yet, not able to do that like we'd like in many respects. But, hold on, dear ones, I believe the time for us to gather again is coming soon. For those who will be comfortable in coming, those who are longing to and are able to, that will be able to gather again soon. The exact date, that's yet to come, but I believe it's coming soon. Things are opening up. God is moving. God's answering prayers. It's coming for Calvary Christian Church soon. I believe that. In the meantime, I have some more good news. According to 1 Corinthians 6:19, the individual bodies of Christians have become the temple of God, in which the Holy Spirit resides. So here, you can seek God's face right now, right there in your living room, in your bedroom, at the kitchen table, wherever you are. You can seek His face, providing you are born again. Because if you are, the Spirit of the living God is within you. Close your eyes, search your heart. God's Spirit resides within you. Press in through faith. Draw close. Seek God's face. Also in verse 6, David says that he would seek God through joyful sacrifice. How so? Well, it's not spelled out for us, but again, David wasn't a priest. So he wasn't personally offering sacrifices on the altar in the tabernacle. That was not a privilege he had to do that. Having said that, according to God's instruction, he would have been supplying to the priest offerings to be made on the tabernacle altar on his behalf. He would have been doing that. He would have been making sacrifices in the giving to the priest what would be offered. He very likely also could have been referring to tithes and offerings, those resources that he would have given to the work of the temple, to God's work there. Now, how would any of that help him in his search? See, because he said he was seeking God that way, through joyful sacrifice, seeking God's face that way. How would this help to find him? How would that do it? Well, Proverbs 18:16 says, our gifts can open doors for us. Well, how so? Well, a token of affection can soften the heart of one whose threshold we hope to cross. But sure, that's not true of God, is it? Well, Paul does tell us in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. But don't misunderstand, we're not trying to pay some kind of a toll so that God will allow us to come closer. That toll's already been paid by the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid the toll so we can approach the throne of grace with confidence now, the Hebrew writer would say, that we can do that. So it's not about that. But it is a way that we express again our appreciation, our gratitude, our value of the Lord we're seeking. And he takes note of that. He does. It also teaches us to depend upon him more fully instead of relying so much upon our own finances or resources. Joyful sacrifice brings us close to the heart of the Father because it identifies with his nature. I'll say that again. Joyful sacrifice brings us close to the heart of the Father because it identifies with his nature. One look to the cross should remind us no one has ever sacrificed more to have an intimate relationship with someone than he has. And guess what? You are that someone that he longed to be with, that he longed to be close to. He loves you. And he longed to have an eternal relationship with you, not just a moment or two or an hour or two a week, but a continual time with him. Look again at verse 6. David also says that he seeks God through music and song. That's what I said. Sounds like praise and worship to me. How about you? We've done that this morning. We have. I appreciated the set list this morning, Heather. Thank you so much. I just let you know I'd be talking about seeking God. And wow, every song just mightily again proclaiming that heart, that desire, that longing for God. Appreciate that very much. We hopefully, as I suggested before, have helped usher others into the throne room in the process of our singing, making music and melody with this theme. There's something about praising God and declaring his wonders in song and accompanied with music that produces a moving melody that bridges the gap between us and the Lord. You've experienced it. I pray you've experienced it today. It's something God has given us, an ability, a heart, gifts to be able to sing and to make music to him. To him. To express our love, our appreciation, our desire to be with him, our longing for him. We have our favorites, don't we? Favorite songs? We do. We may have our favorite genre of music. Ever wonder what God's favorite song might be? What do you think his favorite might be? Worth thinking about. I have a strong feeling the lyrics, at least, to it would be quite similar to David's in the psalm we mentioned earlier. You're my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you. Sure, that'd be on his top 10 list, don't you think? I believe so. Here's what struck me several weeks ago while considering all of this. When you long to be with someone this badly, you're willing to take a few risks to make it happen. You're willing to press in a bit. You're willing to do some things you might not normally do. You're willing to express yourself more fully and openly and, wow, even put in more effort and energy to it. Remember, no one can see God's face and live. This is what struck me, reading the words of David, not just in these Psalms, but in others. David wasn't afraid of dying. Yet he didn't want to live apart from his Lord one single day. We'll investigate this concept, this idea further in the weeks to come about dying to ourselves so that we might be more intimate, more close to Him. We might have a more clear revelation of God and His nature. David didn't want to live apart from his Lord. Not for a day. Neither do I. How about you? How about you? Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for your precious word. I want to thank you, Father, for David's heart that's revealed to us. But even more than that, God, I thank you for your heart that's revealed to us in your word. Your longing for us and your love for us and your desire for us to be with you, that you would create us to seek you and yes, to find you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that knowledge, for that truth. And I pray it'll be a comfort to us no matter where we are or what we're going through. And God, I pray that you would awaken within us more a recognition, a realization of how wonderful it is to be in your presence. And that we would have that desire to press in further into this relationship that you provide for us in Jesus. And we know it wouldn't be possible to do this. Wouldn't be possible to enjoy this unless you, through your grace and mercy, invited us. You told Moses you would have mercy upon those you would have mercy. And show compassion to those that you would have compassion upon. Thank you for your compassion and your mercy extended to us in Jesus, that we can come close to you. As close as we can. And closer still, as you enable us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.